everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Watch It Out with Jay and MJ. I'm Jay.
I'm MJ.
Full disclosure. Derby was... Derby hit us hard. I mean, not really Derby. I was out of town. I was in Nashville for the weekend.
And yeah.
Anytime we take like trips or something, it really fucks up our shit.
Well, it was something that was like an impromptu trip. And then I forget I had something too that like prevented me from doing. Oh, no, I had family photos that we didn't end up doing because the family got sick. The house you're going to down in Richmond.
Mm.
Literally, we were like, we're not getting sick. So we decided to cancel those last minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah. And so at that point, it was like, and it was every weekend in Louisville. So, of course, it's like wild.
Yeah.
With that. So we were like, you know what? Let's do ourselves a favor and, you know, get the show on the road. So with that, just so you guys know, this week we will have a dual release.
Whoop, whoop.
We're having this episode that you're hearing right now in your ear holes. This one.
Right. Ear holes.
This one. And then we will release our Buffy episode midweek.
Yeah.
So look for that on Wednesday or Thursday. And then we're back to our regularly scheduled programming with our new TV show episode next Monday.
There's a lot of everything.
So look forward to that.
Yay.
Can I tell you I got a donut that I don't normally get today?
Oh yay, donut story. What did you get?
I got like they were very cleaned out today. And I guess everybody decided to get donuts
for Mother's Day.
Yep. If I said, hey mom, guess what? Happy Mother's Day. I got you donuts. She'd have been like, what the fuck for?
See, I feel like families, they go get them and take the kids over. So like, hey mom, I brought the grandkids and donuts.
The donuts ain't for you.
They for the grandkids.
Exactly. So actually there was a lady with her three little daughters that was sitting outside eating donuts. So that was kind of cute.
Okay.
That was adorable. But they were cleaned out. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get something different. I got a glazed raspberry filled.
Okay.
Which I'm like eating this in the car and you're like, this is a messy. This donut was the easiest donut to eat.
For some reason. I'm just picturing it as like out the back, just and it's onto your car seat.
It was like the perfect amount of like stuff in the middle.
And not like an excessive amount of just like excretion, but like just like a little.
Yeah, it wasn't too much at all. And to be fair, I think I was kind of hungry. I think I ate it fast enough. I can't tell you if it was good or not.
Just sucking it in.
I think I looked and I was like, oh, my donut's done. I think I was just hungry. Oh, I was hungry.
God. So funny.
I was hungry. But yeah, that was it. That was like a very good story. And I think I'm also having a little bit of the crush of the super tattooed guy with the ear gauges that works at this one. He's got glasses.
Why have we not heard about this? Is it the first time ever we've heard about
him? Because
usually
it's the angry black guy who helps me. Like, he is so angry. He's like, he hates being there. Like, I'm like.
But the tattoo guy's not
I
there
come in and he's like, I come in and he's like, hi. What do you need? And I'm like, I mean, can I get a couple of glazed? He's like, a couple of what? And I'm like, glazed.
Damn.
Like, he's so rude. Like, he's not rude, but he is definitely, like, very intimidating.
Yeah,
but I get that. The tattoo guy is usually in the back, so I see him every now and then. But today, he was out in front, and I was
so the tattoo guy's a chef.
I don't know.
Or the baker, I guess.
Who knows? But he's got ear gauges that are, like, kind of big, which, you know, ear gauges really kind of gross me out a little bit. But he's also got glasses and tattoos. I was like, I'd try it.
I feel like anything that would pique your interest is I try it.
I mean, you know, it's the spice of life. Like, you have to have a variety.
How do you know? Like, you don't like it, try it.
I'm at an age now where I could be saying no to shit. The only thing I would really say no to right now is heroin or meth. That's a no.
I've seen the after pictures. That is a no.
That is a hard no. But there are a lot, like, people like, hey, would you like to try this cookie? Sure, I'll try that cookie.
Is there meth in it? No. I would like to try that cookie.
No. Then that's a no. But, I'm in my era of yes. Of like, sure.
Wait, are we doing Eras again?
No, but I'm.
Did Taylor bring that back with the Eras tour?
Taylor who?
Swift.
She didn't bring shit back. She stole it from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got me off my bullshit. Regardless, I'm in my era of being like, you know what? Yes, sure. If I could work it out, then yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
You know?
Look, I love this for you.
I do too. I love it for me as well.
If you like it, I love it.
I mean, my name is Bennett and I ain't in it. So, you know.
I need to accommodate or incorporate more of those sayings into my daily just like vocabulary.
You should. So today, you guys.
Yes.
We will have a party of four. Okay. So.
Well, four total. It's like not six.
Four total because, you know.
One of us is illiterate.
We'll discuss. We'll let you know. So we do want to do a party of three with quotes. A party of three-ish.
Asterisk.
a party of three-ish. and we will be reviewing FX's Shogun.
All right. Correct? Yes. So on to our new segment, MJ's Party of Three.
Well, no, I was going to also talk about like that show that you haven't watched yet.
Oh, yes. Go on.
We're not going to review it, but it's called Dead Boy Detectives.
You've told me a little bit about this.
Yes. Do you remember what I told you about it?
That it's, I don't want to say what I remember, but you told me because I feel like it's very rude against Netflix and I don't know if they listen to us, but you pretty much told me it's like them stealing the plot of,
But then you go ahead and you say
know,
it. Okay.
I know. Of Lockhart and Co.
Of Lockwood and Co.
Sorry.
No, I'm with you. I get you. I understand why. That's a nice slip. I get it.
I didn't even think about it.
I am not that
it.
Famous.
You want to be.
Lockwood and Co.
Lockwood and Co.
Yeah. So you guys, if you remember, there was Lockwood and Co., which was based on a series of books. Correct.
Yes.
And
which it was, I still want to go read.
Right. And it was about these two British, they were all British.
Yeah. It was in Britain.
Yeah. And England. They're like, they help banish ghosts or whatever. And then this one girl who comes along, she kind of, you know, boosts their business because she's just better at it. Or she's got like.
Her power is something you only see like once a generation.
Yeah. So Dead Boy Detectives. I know the name needs work. And they mention it many times in the show. Like, they're like Dead Boy Detectives. And they're like, why would you call yourself that? Like,
I will say, I saw no advertisement for the show. I saw nothing.
Me either. It came on when I start Netflix. It was one of it was showing up. I was like, that might be cute. It's also, well, it's not set in Britain, but the two main characters are British. Edwin and Charles. And what they are is they are ghosts themselves. And they are detectives. So they help ghosts, you know, they help ghosts who have been wronged, basically. It's what their whole thing is, because they were wronged when they were alive.
I'm just picturing that Beetlejuice scene where they go to the afterlife and they're in that waiting room, like a doctor's waiting room. That's all I'm picturing right now.
Nothing like that. But long story short, Charles is from like the early 1900s or whatever.
Okay.
And basically, because the boys he was in school with thought he was probably gay, they like basically sacrificed him to a demon of hell.
Jesus Christ.
And he was in hell and he got out somehow. I don't remember how he got out, but he got out. And then the other one, oh wait, that's Edwin. And then Charles is from like the 1980s. And I think he died like protecting his mom from his abusive father.
I'm sorry, this very lighthearted kind of like,
but,
oh, here's
but yeah,
my thought.
But that's just how they
real serious.
No, but that's why they try to help ghosts who have been wronged.
Okay.
So that's why they're like, but they're also running away from death. This is part of the Sandman series. It's connected in the same world.
Is it?
It's in the same world. So maybe it is already written, but it is part of the same world because the lady who played death in Sandman is in this. So they are dodging death because they're, you know, they're not, they haven't gone up.
Out of all the conversations we've had, which is like two, you didn't mention this?
Yeah, right. But then there's a girl named Crystal who is like a psychic, basically. And they kind of find her because there was a demon who had like basically possessed her.
Okay.
And she dated the demon. Like, she dated him, thought it was a real person. And then like she found out what he was. And he was kind of like, I'm a good, you know, demon. And she was like, really? And then let him in. And then he like took over her body and her life. And now, and she finally, they
we
helped,
both know some guys like
yeah,
that.
They helped her get at, they helped her with that. And she kind of is tagging along with them now, but he still like jumps into her brain every now and then and tries to like take. So it's actually like a pretty cool, like show the way they do it. It's a little kooky,
okay,
but I actually think it's good. And now they're like, this might get canceled. I'm like, already it was like number two on like,
hey,
shows or whatever. But
what is our curse?
Well, it's not our curse. It's Netflix saying we don't cancel successful shows. I'm like,
but it's the thing that every show we like from Netflix ends up getting canceled.
Yeah, but that was just sorry. I mean, but I think it's cute, and I think everybody should watch it. I think it's pretty adorable. Lucas Gage, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Are you
faking that?
No. I'm pretty sure. I want to verify.
Do you want me to tell you who it is first, or do you?
I was gonna look it up. What's the name of the
Lucas ghost? Gage? Lukas, maybe? There he is right there. He came right up. He was in the famous butt eating scene from White Lotus season one.
Yeah.
He's been in Euphoria a little bit. He's been in he was in a Netflix movie with
was Billy from Roadhouse.
Oh yeah, he was in Roadhouse, correct. Yeah. He was in a movie with Quinn, Robert Quinn, Zachary Quinto. That's on what's it called? Netflix right now. So he's been around.
He was in the series. He was in a season of You. He was in an episode of Gossip Girl. Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the face popped up.
Right. He's in it. Why is that on his thing? Go up. Go up.
What?
It's weird that it's not on his credits.
What thing?
Oh, it's up there. It's the top one. Dead Boy Detectives.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He plays the Cat King, which means he's the king of cats. You're welcome.
Thanks for the clarification.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. But you guys should definitely give it like a cute little watch. Like, I think it'll be very cute. And did you see the whole thing with John Mulaney?
No.
He had like a 6-day live show on Netflix like all last week. I found it like last minute. It was like Monday through Saturday or something. And it was like live, and then they showed it afterwards. So...
Huh.
Because there were a lot of comedians in LA for something, and he was like interviewing comedians and shit. Like, I'm gonna have to go back and watch it.
I didn't have a clue.
I love John Mulaney.
I've been on Netflix every day for the last week. I didn't have a clue.
You need to get your shit together. You need to get your priorities straight.
Netflix needs to start offering me some better options.
Maybe you need to start watching some better options, and they'll start recommending you some better options. What do you watch on there? Fucking.
No, I do not watch fucking on there.
I like some bullshit. Like, that's what you like. You have to watch shit in order to get recommended shit. You know?
That how the algorithm works.
You can't just be watching old episodes of Gilmore Girls on Netflix on repeat, because then it's only going to give you 90 shows and nothing new.
But 90 shows are good.
I didn't say they weren't, but and I'm saying you're Gilmore talking about...
was early 2000s.
You're like, why am I not seeing any of this new shit? Because you keep watching old shit. That's why you ain't seeing no new shit, because you're watching all the old shit.
Okay.
And not to say that watching the old shit is bad. I'm just saying you got to balance that shit out. You got to balance that shit out.
You know what I'm doing, though? Huh? I'm reading. I'm taking my time. Oh, I'm sorry. What's that below the belt?
I don't care. I don't care how I read. I don't fucking read books. That's why Party of Three is a Party of Three-ish.
It was MJ's Party of Three this week.
I have a party.
You have an attendee.
I'm having a party. A party for two. That was a Shania Twain and Billy Currington. Billy Currington was so hot back in the day.
If I could find One Is the Loneliest Number, I would play it right now, but I don't want to play it.
But one ain't lonely. One is doing just fine. One is thriving. So our Party of Three-ish. Yeah. Today, since Shogun. Okay, look, calm down with that. Okay, calm down with that. Shogun, calm down with that. Was based on a book. We were like, hey, what books have you read that you think would be really good as a series that they haven't made? But it's really hard to find that shit, to be fair. So
it's true.
So we decided that'd be really cool to talk about. And then as I was going through this exercise, I realized that I don't read books. I try.
Fair enough.
I try.
I have to be very into the story.
I have to be too. Like, I have to be too. Like, and then I went through this whole thing of like where I only want to read, like, I'm like, I've spent my entire life reading like books about straight people. Like, I would like to read a book about a gay person. But then it's also weird to me that a lot of the, there's nothing wrong with it, but a lot of the like books that are with gay people are written by straight white women, which I'm like, I would love to hear this from like an actual, like, why are there not more gay men writing these books? And maybe there are, and I haven't found them. And the only ones who are really getting, you know, the recognition are ones written by straight white ladies. But I'm like, I would like to read a book that is by a gay man that's actually good.
I think that's a lot easier to find than you think it is.
Probably.
So would you like to go first, since you have a quicker
list?
No,
you go first, because I only have the one. I want to milk this shit.
Okay.
Just milk it. I gotta make it last when it's good.
We're going to edge a little bit?
You have to.
Okay, so my list. The first one on here, I'm just going to throw it out there, has actually now been made into a series that is one I enjoy, and that's the Percy Jackson series. I like the books.
Oh.
And I was very happy that they were making this into a series.
Until I hated it.
Listen to the review of the show. We have that episode out. It's a past episode. It's a good episode. Go listen to it if you want the full how I feel about it. But yes, that was the first one.
Okay.
Do you want me to just go through my whole list?
Do you have a favorite series? Do you have a favorite one?
So here's the thing. There are 15 books right now that pertain to Percy Jackson and his friends and everything. I have read 10 of them. Mm. So I have 5 other ones I have not started.
Mm.
So there's not trilogies, but it's like there's like a saga of each one. So there's like the ones where they're like what they're making for Disney right now. Mm-hmm. There's a 5-book series there. Mm-hmm. There's one that comes out after that where they're a little older. They're like in college age kind of, and they meet other demigods. I won't spoil the actual like story if you want to read it. Mm-hmm. But there's another big war at the end of it. And then the last 5 follows, they're called the Trials of Apollo. So Apollo disappointed Zeus in what he chose to do during the war in the second 5 books. So he sent him to Earth in human form, and he has to learn how to get his god powers back, if I remember the plot of it right. Mm. So it's a little bit of a twist. It's not following the demigods. It's following a god who's fallen.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. So those are the last 5 I haven't. I like the second 5 books better.
Okay.
Because I like the variety. Where like the first book, you really only have like 3 characters. And then like the second 5, you have like 7 to 8 kind of an interchange.
Yeah, yeah.
And each chapter is written in the perspective of one of those characters. So it's a very like, it jumps around, but it's very cohesive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I like how the second 5 is written.
Okay. That's cute.
Yeah.
Percy. You know what? Honestly, I wouldn't even say Perseus, but I'd be like, you cannot. They'd be like, okay, I call you Percy. I'll be like, look, son. Look here. If anybody says, can I call you Percy? You say, no, your name is Perseus.
You gotta.
It's Perseus.
Set it up front.
Because does Perseus sound cooler than Percy?
It does.
You're welcome. You know? So yeah. That's Perseus Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Lightning Thief. You're welcome. What's your second one?
So the second one is, and I'm sure, and the caveat to these next two is, I have seen confirmation that TV shows are supposed to be being created for these two series.
But you never know. Huh? You never know.
Exactly. The first one, and I'm sure most people have heard this and are dying to have it come out, is the ACOTAR series.
I'm sorry, who?
It's a series of books written by Sarah J. Maas. She did the Glass Throne series. Who? Sarah J. Maas.
It's just not Maas, because I feel like that last name is M-A-A-S. Am I correct?
M-A-H-A-S. There's an H in there.
M-A-H-A-S.
I have a book of her name on it. I'll go grab it in a second. It's flipped around. But everyone I've heard is called, it says Moss.
But you said Mass.
How's it spelled?
It's spelled M-A-A-S. That's like I just told you. I didn't read these fucking books. I don't know how to spell this name.
Fine.
I don't even know who these books are. Crown of Thorns, who's that? Is that one of them? A Crown of Thorns?
There's like a Court of something in most of them.
A Court of Thorns and Roses. Yes. I've seen these, but I've never read them.
So, okay, I do recommend these. Emily read these a long time ago when she first started getting into kind of the like risque books. Mm-hmm. A lot of these aren't very risque. Like the first couple are really good.
You think nobody's getting fucked? I don't want to read it. I don't want to read it.
The first one's very clean. The first 3.
So I Googled these. One of the first questions is spice level.
Yeah, for real. It's
how like spicy. The first 4 books are limited to gore and violence as far as graphic scenes go. Jesus. However, turn up the heat into new adult fantasy with a ranking. Books 5 through 7 have turned up the heat into new adult fantasy with a ranking of 3 out of 5 spice.
Okay, but here's the thing. She has 3 different series. She has So she has the Court of that one, which is based off of fairies.
Yeah.
Which is the one I want to see made.
Fairies, what you call me?
You heard. Sorry. Fae. Then she has the
Crescent City.
Crescent City, which is a book series based off of like half breeds. So it's like half fae, half humans that live in this specific city.
What you just call? Okay, I'm kidding.
You heard me. And then the Glass Throne, which is the one which is like all humans, which was actually her first series.
Okay.
Which has like 7 books. So the ACOTAR series actually is going to have more books coming out. She's just currently writing them.
Okay.
But yes, it's a whole.
Wait, what is ACOTAR?
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Girl, whatever.
but I like
it. Y'all with these goddamn acronyms.
But yes, this is the one that Emily, I actually audio booked this one.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really good. The one that we listened to wasn't just someone reading it. They actually had a full cast acting out each character.
I love that, actually.
I
love
that. So good. I'll have to let you listen to it sometime. But it's really good. And the story actually, knowing what I know now, get through the first book. And you'll in the second, third, fourth really take off.
We'll see. I'm trying to support gay authors right now.
But
by not reading any fucking books.
But yeah, so that's where I'm sure most people who know about it. I don't want to go too far in depth and ruin anything.
No, you're good. I'm supporting from afar. I'm like, you know what? I would love to read your book. Will I? No. But I would love to.
Recommend it. So I recommend reading it. Listen to it. And then the last one is the Hawthorne series. I don't really know what else to call it.
Okay.
It is a very intriguing kind of like mystery, not like a whodunit murder mystery, but a mystery very similar to like what you got back in like Angels and Demons and Da Vinci Code era, where like, I don't know, like games were being played and you had to find the clues to get to the next clue.
Are you talking about the Inheritance games?
Yes.
The Final Gambit?
Yes.
The Hawthorne Legacy?
Yes.
The Brothers Hawthorne?
Yes, I read all four of those.
There is nothing more Hawthorne than winning. It's by Jennifer Lynn Barnes. Games Untold. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, so the first book, and this is kind of where a lot of this goes in for the like first three, because the first three are like a compilation, then the fourth one goes away from the main girl, who's like the character of the first three, and follows a specific set of other characters from those books.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole like plot of the first one is this girl who has no money, who is... has nothing inheritance-wise, gets picked by a billionaire from Texas, and he gives her all of his inheritance, and she doesn't know why, and the whole point is she has to figure out why she got his inheritance.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Look at you.
But those last two, I think, the ACOTAR series, I believe, is supposed to be coming to Hulu, and that is a Hulu original, but I keep hearing rumors that it might get canceled, so we'll see. And then Hawthorne, I think, is being... produced by Prime.
There's also a Hawthorne and Horowitz books. I don't know if that's supposed to be your Hawthorne and this one, but let me see.
Maybe. I thought there's only four. There's supposed to be more coming out, so maybe she's...
Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's something different.
Okay.
This is called Hawthorne and Horowitz.
No, I think it's something different.
The word is murder.
Yeah, there is really no murder in... Well, there's...
Book two.
There might be a little murder in these stories.
Book two. The sentence is death. Book three. A line to kill. I mean, creativity. We're losing creativity.
What's the paragraph?
I don't know. I'm just reading the titles. The fourth book. The twist of a knife. Now we're getting back. We're getting creative again. And then the last one is close to death. Mm. The first two are better. Cool. Good. I like that. Thanks.
So I recommend them. Read them if you want. They're very good. The Hawthorne one's a very quick read. There's like short chapters, like 2 to 3 pages a chapter. Mm. So you feel like you're actually accomplishing something. That's why I couldn't put it down. Because like, oh, next chapter. Next chapter.
Yeah.
Next chapter.
So, hey, everybody, settle down. You know what? We're going to go to dinner alone.
Okay.
You know, we're going to sit down by ourselves, order a glass of wine. You know, and we're fine. You know what? We confident enough to do this bullshit. We don't need three.
Two.
We're going to do one. Just one. So my book is one. I read this book about 3 years ago, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by P.J. Vernon, and it's actually called Bath House. Mm. And he describes it as like a grinder thriller kind of thing. But basically what it's about this married same-sex couple. I believe their names are Oliver and Nathan. So Oliver is like, there's like a little bit of an age gap. Oliver is married to Nathan. Nathan's a doctor. God, my life. I wish. But like basically they, you know, have like a really, really nice life together. But then Oliver kind of makes the choice to go visit like a bathhouse and, you know, to possibly kind of like cheat on his husband.
Add some spice to his life.
Right. But once he gets there, and I'm just going to read the little snippet here. Once he gets there in the seductive anonymity of this room, Oliver's encounter goes terrifyingly wrong, and he barely escapes with his life. Racing home in full-blown terror as the hand-shaped bruise grows dark on his neck, Oliver knows the truth will destroy Nathan and their life together. So Oliver does a thing he used to do so well. He lies. So I think in the book, Oliver used to be like a huge drug addict or something, or either an alcoholic or both. And I think when he started dating Nathan, I think he was trying to date him to be like, oh, he's a rich talker, I could kind of use him a little bit. I think he actually like got clean and kind of like built this life with him. So but I think he just felt like too like closed in, and that's why he thought about cheating probably. And I think the way the book continues to go on is like that the guy that like he kind of doesn't really cheat, so he ends up escaping and running, and then he starts getting stalked by the person who he had met at the bathhouse.
We you told me about this book before. We've discussed this before.
And I read it. I audiobooked it. And I was like, it was a virtual page turner. I don't know how you turn pages on an audiobook. But I was like, I would sit and be like, just listen. Like, I don't just listen to audiobooks, like, and not do something else. You know what I mean? Like, I was sitting and listening.
So, and then, let me ask you a question. When you listen to audiobooks, do you listen at the normal speed someone reads, or do you like speed it up?
I listen at regular speed.
Okay.
Weirdo. You and this whole, I listen to some two speed bullshit. It is not, it's whatever. You do what you want to.
No, I would just, because like, I like audiobooks. I like that you can get through them a little quicker because I don't read quickly, which is why I don't read as much, which I was actually very happy to have something to offer in this conversation.
Yeah, I didn't. I think my thing is, it's like I miss the opportunities to read. Like right now, I watch a lot of TV, obviously. But I also am a cheapskate a little bit, and I do not want to pay for no commercials. So I'm like, I could really be reading this shit during commercials. And there are a lot of times during the day where I will just sit in silence for like 10 minutes and scroll on my phone, and I'm like, I could be reading something.
Yeah.
I think I just have to find something that I want to read. But this book was actually really good. There's a really, 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 really cool twist at the end that I remember, like, I remember really, really enjoying it. And it's Bath House. House is spelled H-A-U-S. Mm. But it was really good. And I believe the author is gay, which is... another cool thing that I was like, I felt great that I was able to support, you know, a gay author who wrote a book about two men and, you know, who are in the same relationship or whatever. But it was actually a pretty cool book and I really enjoyed it. And I would love if it became like a series. Like, I think that would be really, really cool because I can't remember how it all ends, but I feel like you could do like separate seasons of this. Like you could definitely like expand on this story or maybe do like an anthology.
I feel like it'd be like a Murders in the Building kind of thing from Hulu.
Well, I think more anthology, like not American Horror Story, but kind of the same where it's like where it's Bath House, but season two is like Bath House wherever.
Yeah.
Or something where something's gone on, you know, I think you could easily make it an anthology type thing. So I like, you know, that what? Idea. I'm patenting that.
I like it.
That is a hard word. Patenting.
Yeah.
Patent leather. Yeah, so there's our party of three-ish. You're welcome.
Well, maybe you'll take away some of the things we've talked about and read later.
What?
Maybe you'll read some of the series later.
What?
The ones that we talked about? The ones that I read?
Maybe. No, I'm trying to support gay authors and gay books.
Only?
Yeah, right now.
All right.
You know, we got to support the fag community. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of her calling me a fairy and everything, bitch. Stay tuned for this week's review.
Welcome back, everybody. This week, we are taking a look at FX Original on Hulu, Shogun.
I mean, can these just stop buying shit? Hey, first of all, I have a bone to pick with you, Netflix, because we going back.
Let's do it.
So, in between while we were talking for a second, we were, MJ was like, you know what, I think I'm going to read these, or maybe audio listen to these Lockwood & Co. books.
Yeah.
So, he went and Googled The Order. And what did you find was on all the covers of the books, MJ? Tell them.
The little Netflix stamp logo saying on Netflix now.
You don't get to put your fucking Netflix sticker on all these books after you done canceled this fucking series. That is not okay. That is abusive. Is it not? That's basically slavery. You have said just because I own the rights to this one book, I can put my sticker on all these books. You just get to own all the children for whatever reason. How is that?
Pushing my mic away from my face.
How is that okay? Like, can you do that? Can they do that? I mean, I know they did it, but can you do that?
Evidently.
That's rude. Like, that's rude. Like, that's real rude to me. I mean, maybe I'm overreacting. I don't know. Who wrote the book? Jonathan Stroud? I think you need, like, to have a conversation with Netflix and be like, I need y'all to take y'all fucking stickers off my fucking books. Because y'all series ain't do shit for me, actually. I wouldn't have known about them if it wasn't on Netflix in the first place. But regardless of that. Jonathan, I think you need to have, like, you know, a little bit of, you know, have some respect for yourself. You know, get your worth. Now, if you got like a big paycheck for them stickers, then just tell me to shut the fuck up. But this is for me not coming from no research whatsoever.
I would laugh if you get like a message on Instagram, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, if you say shut the fuck up, I'm like, you know what? You do you, boo-boo. That's fine. If you got that check, you spend that money. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't give you no check for them fucking stickers on them books after they canceled that series, they'd be like, get your stickers off my fucking books.
Well, moving on, Shogun.
I'm sorry, I had to get off my chest. It weighed heavy.
All right, we're going to play the game. We don't have you.
So, Shogun.
Shogun.
I told you, you can't fucking do that.
Do what? I just said the word.
So, Shogun is a lot. This is going to be difficult.
Shogun.
Shogun is based on a book series about, like, 18th century feudal Japan.
Okay.
Okay, that was encouraging. Okay. 18th century feudal Japan.
No, I just like the word. I like the use of the word feudal. Like, that was very.
Oh, girl, I thought I was getting something right. Okay. I don't even think I know what the word feudal means. Family feudal. 18th century feudal Japan, where a council of regents is running the country until the heir comes of age. But while this is happening, one of the regents decides to quit and try to take over Japan themselves, and then craziness ensues. There you go. You're welcome.
The always dependable IMDb description of the show.
Mm.
When a mysterious European ship is found marooned in a nearby fishing village, mm-hmm. Lord Yoshi Torinaga discovers secrets that could tip the scales of power and devastate his enemies.
Mm, that's more concise.
It is. But I like the point that you made that it's feudal Japan, so set the
it
scene
It might
here.
Not be, you guys. We don't, I mean, like I just said, I don't know what the fuck feudal means.
So Japan, set this the image. We are following a ship of English sailors.
No, they're Portuguese.
Sorry.
It's hard to... It's hard...
No. The Portuguese are who are already there. These people are from England, remember? Because
But they speak Portuguese.
So?
Now I'm confused. Okay. Go ahead. Yes, you're right. They are English.
Yes.
It's cool. It's whatever.
This main character, John Blackthorne, played by Cosmo Jarvis.
And you know, every... And from minute to minute, in this series of 10 episodes, from minute to minute, I was like, ooh, ew, ooh, ew, ooh, ooh, ew. And those sounds were like his attractiveness. Like, I was like, oh, no. Oh, he's, no. Is he? No. Yeah. He's not. So, like, you know, I couldn't figure out if I was, like, sexually attracted to him or not. I know that's, like, you know, a point that needs to be made.
You sound confused.
I was very confused during this whole show.
John Blackthorne, he is the captain or pilot of a British vessel from London who is trying to find the Japans, as they call them, because the Portuguese are really benefiting from trade. So they already have trade set up in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the Portuguese are, I believe, Catholic, where the British are Protestant. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to...
In this world,
win their freedom, kind of not bow to the one church. So they are trying to set up their own forms of trade with Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they speak Portuguese is because they obviously don't know how to learn Japanese, so they know Portuguese so they can talk to the other people that speak a language they know.
Mm-hmm. But what makes it confusing, you guys, is like them speaking Portuguese is actually English to us in the series.
Correct. That is the part of the English part in the series.
But then the Japanese people are actually speaking Japanese.
Correct.
So it's like the Japanese is Japanese with subtitles, but the English is Portuguese in English.
Yes. But so the, like we said,
Einhorn is Finkel, Finkel is Einhorn.
That has been a constant theme for this season. I think that needs to be the title of season 5 for our podcast.
Yeah.
Blackthorn's ship crashes after pretty much the entire crew dies. I think there's like maybe 7 of them left when they mm-hmm. land on Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they crash land on Japan. And they, like we said in the description, in a random fishing village off somewhere off the coast. This fishing village is run by
Kashiki Yabushige.
Thank you. His last name is going to make me stumble.
Kashiki Yabushige.
I can say Kashiki. That's not a Yabushige.
Yabushige.
Okay. He's the fief lord. Fife.
This is his fiefdom.
Thank you.
We're going to say fiefdom?
Yes.
You were.
This is his fiefdom. But he runs this, and we find out is kind of a weird guy who's really like, just like.
I'm going to make some comparisons.
He's obsessed with death. Is the main thing I got away from the first. Like,
is he?
He's the one who like writes down how to kill people and like listens to the guy being cooked alive in the first episode because he wants to hear about the soul. Yeah.
So to me, I'm going to compare him to a series we all know very well.
Okay.
And that's Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Yabushige is very much a Littlefinger.
I can see that.
He's very much a play both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever furthers me in this thing, I will say and do whatever I need to do to further my own shit. And if that means that I need to play both sides, I'm going to play both sides.
Yes.
You know, Yabushige.
But yes, so Yabushige, he is the ruler of this fiefdom. But we come to find out that the news of the ship crash landing, all these cannons and guns that are on Blackthorn's ship that he was going to use to kind of like get in good with one of the regents.
Mm-hmm.
The news of this gets sent to the region who actually is over this entire area because there's five regions and the country's broken into five areas. The region that runs this area is played by Takahiro Hira, who plays Ishido. No, sorry, I said it wrong. I went down one too far. This one is played by Hiroyuki Sanada, who plays Yoshi Tornaga.
Yes.
Who is one of the five regents.
He is one of the five of the Council of Regents, correct.
But he is, in the first episode, kind of like stuck in... Oh, God, I can't think of the...
Osaka?
Name. Thank you, because it's not the capital anymore of Japan.
He's in Osaka, Japan.
Yes. Trapped in by one of the other regents, the one I named earlier, Tokihira Hira, playing Ishido Kasunari. Kasunari?
Kasunari.
K-A-Z-U-N-A.
Oh, Kasunari.
Yes. Who is in one of the regions who is trying to kind of take power and be his own thing. He's kind of like the main antagonist of the whole series.
Yeah, he's like a less vicious Cersei Lannister.
True. But this gives Yoshi a reason to go back to this fiefdom to figure out what this group of sailors who aren't Japanese and these they call barbarians are and leave Osaka. But again, because Blackthorn doesn't speak Japanese, we have to get interpreter. And this is our kind of last main character of the series. Our main interpreter for John is played by Anna Sawai, who plays Tota Mariko.
Mariko.
Who is Mariko stunning and an amazing actress and loves
She's
her.
Been in other shit.
I don't know her from anything else.
I feel like she has. She looks very familiar.
But tell us about Mariko.
Mariko.
Yes.
Oh, she was the main girl in Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
Yep, yep.
And you know what? I didn't like her in that.
You didn't.
I was like, who is this bitch? I didn't like her at all.
Really?
And I will say, I will go ahead and say, you guys, that I don't know which was first, but she must have heard this podcast about Monarch
was first.
Because in Shogun, this bitch worked it out. Worked it out. I might be foreshadowing some things, but Anna, I take my shit back, girl, because you did your damn thing. But Mariko is she has become a Catholic, basically.
Yes.
But because of that, she's learned Portuguese, and Marco's got like a really fucked up background. Like her family, her dad was deemed a traitor.
Yes.
For whatever reason, and they like murdered her father and like her entire family. Right? Or no.
Yes.
I can't remember if he did it or if he performed seppuku. I don't remember which is which. Do you remember?
So I don't believe he killed himself with a seppuku. The thing he did was he was not a fan of how one of the other regents or the ruler of the country was treating. I think it was the ruler. I think it was the person who's like the father of the heir.
Ruler. Yeah.
Was treating everybody like he was very brutal. He was killing people. So he was trying to stick up for the common people.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of fought back against him. i.e. the traitor, and he was then put to murder, and he wasn't given the honor of killing himself, because killing yourself, the whole point of doing it is the fact that you are willing to endure that pain. Mm-hmm. You bring honor back to yourself and your family.
Yeah.
Which is why you're then granted the second who chops your head off.
That's called seppuku.
Yeah. So that's where they killed him to dishonor him and his family.
Yeah. So with this, Mariko is kind of is somehow under Lord Toranaga.
She marries her husband. Buntaro.
And who is he to Toranaga?
Grandson?
Okay. So she kind of marries into that family.
Yeah.
But she also knows Portuguese, so they bring her in to help translate between Blackthorn and all the Japanese people.
Yeah.
So
that's that.
Yeah, this show is like this show has a lot of fucking information, and
it does.
In true FX form, a lot of these episodes are like hard hours. Yeah. But yeah. So and I think I lost this a little bit of the translation. I think I lost a little bit of like why Toranaga was really trying to do what he was trying to do. So it's really like what makes this so political in a way, is the fact that because the Japanese have such like a lot of these Blackthorn was just like, well, just do it. Like, why can't you just do it? And Mariko's like, you know, in Japan, like, it is all about honor. It is all about following the rules. Tradition. It is all about tradition. So like there's a whole scene in, I don't think I'm spoiling anything. There's a whole scene in one of the episodes where Mariko is in Osaka again, and Toranaga's wife and child are there too, right? His wife and child are there.
Well, okay. Are we talking about the child and the mother of the child, or the
his concubine, I guess.
Yes. So, the wife originally of the heir, like the main ruler, could not bear him a son. So the main ruler had a consort who gave birth to a
consort.
Heir.
Yeah. So Toradaka's actual wife and his consort and his child are also in Osaka, and they are quote unquote forbidden to leave. But they're not really forbidden to leave. So like the council readers are like, don't try to leave. But in order to be polite, it's like they're not saying what should be done. So Mariko comes in front of a big room of people and says, hey, here's the thing. My lord would like to see his wife and his son. So
because his oldest just got killed.
Right. So yeah. And she's like, so we're going to leave tomorrow. And the council is like, but you can't leave. And she's like, so you're saying we're prisoners? And they're like, well, no. And she's like, so we can leave. So that's like so that's why it's so political, is because they're trying to like, and she's like, you can't, if you force us to stay, then you are saying that everybody is a prisoner, and that's what you're putting forth. But if you let us leave, you're also saying that we're not, and people can leave whenever they want. So it's like they're playing this really weird game of chess all the time with their words.
So the big thing that Toranaga was known for is he is extremely cunning.
Strategic.
Yes.
He plays the game of Risk. Settlers of Catan, if I may.
He won his first battle at like the age of like 14. Like he's
13.
Okay, there you go. So he's very wise and like extremely cunning. Like
he's playing games. Yeah, I play games.
But yes, he sees that Ishido is really forcing the hand of all the other regents and trying to get more power. And the reason they made the five regents is because they didn't want to have one person rule them all.
Right.
Because A, how do you choose? And then it just puts the country into war again, because if you choose wrong, the other ones are going to take over. Mm-hmm. So they made a very diplomatic ruling, and I think Toranaga at the time agreed, let's have five regents with equal power.
Right.
And the whole point of the first part is Ishido is trying to impeach Toranaga, and he has to have all of the regents vote for that.
Right.
Which is why he summons them to Osaka.
Yeah. And then Toranaga, again, plays the political game to be able to leave Osaka.
Well, no, he escapes. That's the one he did on his own.
Oh yeah, he escapes, but like yeah, he escapes, but that's why his wife and his consort are still there. Mm-hmm. But speaking of tradition, like in one of the first episodes, like we didn't talk about her, but Fuji-sama, she is like in one of the meetings with Toranaga and the Council of Regents, her husband speaks out of turn.
Yeah.
And in order, and because he spoke out of turn, the tradition is that he's like, I will now offer my life up to Torunaga, you know, my life and my, you know, son's life.
Yes.
So because of that, like her baby, when they get back, he has to perform seppuku. And then they have to kill her child because mm-hmm. that was the tradition. That's what it was. And we get a lot of this with Black Dolan. Black Dolan's like, this is fucking stupid. What the hell?
I'm sure most people are like, why are you doing right. this?
Like Fuji loved her whole little arc with it. Like I felt in love with Fuji. But this is so a lot of the stuff that's the way Black Dolan kind of comes into the series as well is like Torunaga is seeing him as someone who he can use.
Yeah.
And he's like, if he's really from, you know, wherever, he's got this big ship, how can we use him? How can we, you know, how can he help me? I actually think that Torunaga is more of like a Cersei in this. Actually, I think Torunaga is more of like a Tywin Lannister.
I can definitely see that.
Like, he's got like...
Pawns moving everywhere.
Everywhere. And he knows what's going on with everything. Like, he's thinking 8 steps ahead of every fucking body.
Well, and he has to take a little bit of, like, a grain of salt here, because Blackthorn comes to this country. Obviously, he is enemies with the Portuguese.
Right.
But he brings with him stories of, like, all of these different strongholds that the Japanese are trading, like, ammunition with and guns with the Portuguese, mm-hmm. as if the Portuguese are trying to, like, gain more power in the area, and they don't know about this. So it's also that Blackthorn is showing Torunaga that, well, the Portuguese are your enemy also. So like the enemy of my enemy is my friend,
right,
is how Torunaga, I think, is viewing Blackthorn.
Right. So there's a lot. I think that's it makes the show a little hard to follow sometimes, because there is so much going on, and then the fact that you are switching back and forth so frequently between reading subtitles and it being Japanese and being English, I think I said this a few episodes ago, maybe it was last year, I love listening to these mixed, I love having these mixed language shows. I think it's really, really cool. This is the first one that I've watched where I did feel like I was losing, I was like, I think I'm not picking up everything that I could be picking up. I do. That's like a small criticism of like, I know I missed some shit because I couldn't pick it up, or like just like anything else, I might look down at my phone for something, and then it's a whole portion where they're speaking Japanese. I didn't read anything, and I'm like, wait, what? What's happening?
That is my one complaint about the show, is that you cannot look away, because when we say there's Japanese, I think 70% of it is in Japanese.
Yeah, which I love.
Yes, it's great to hear the language. It's great to see how it's done. It's a little funny that yes can be 16 words and no is one, but like...
Yeah, and I'm not using more complaint, I'm using criticism.
Sure, yes, my one criticism is, and that's why I felt like the show seemed probably longer than it was, mm-hmm. is because you have to concentrate on it. You can't look away.
I tried to watch this after a couple glasses of wine, and I was like, no. this read is not going to happen today.
No.
I was like, they were saying shit, I was like, Yabushike, and then it'll go off, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then they would say the next line, I'd be like, we are, and then it'll go out. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, my slow reading. I don't read books, y'all. We already established.
Yes.
So, you know, reading subtitles is a feat in itself, number one. So, yeah, that was my one, because I had to watch this when I was alert, like fully alert, yeah. Which is fine. If we get into further, I think it starts to get into.
I don't want to spoil anything, because there are some small things in here. If we talk about almost any of them, it could spoil what happens in the show. I'm just gonna say it outright. I don't want to do that because I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
Yeah,
but
I think we can slide in the Bay of the Week.
I would love to slide into my Bay of the Week,
and I've already like telegraphed this.
I think we're both there,
and. From her Razzie from Monsters, Legacy of Monarch, to an Oscar-winning performance, in my opinion, in Shogun, it has to be Anna Sawai, like, as Mariko. Like, this bitch.
So true.
Like, can I tell you that, I don't know what, maybe it's a Japanese language, and how, like, precise, I don't know. There's something about that language that is so beautiful.
And the way, I mean, she was fluid in it, which I'm sure she practiced, but like she delivered perfectly, and I'm sure they had to do multiple takes.
Yeah, she was good.
But can we talk about
to those? To be fair, everyone was good. Like, I love, like, the way I kind of started to fall in love with a lot of these characters, even with the language barrier, like, Fujisama, fucking fell in love with Fujisama. Like, her bullshit, like, her fucking sad ass bullshit. Like, I fully actually, like, when Buntaro and Mariko had that tea together, like, yeah, that scene was so, like, I really started to, like, really emotionally connect to a lot of these characters. I don't think I ever got that with Torunaga because I don't think I was supposed to. I think he's supposed to be kind of like this, he's supposed to be kind of like this lesser of two evils kind of person to me, mm-hmm, like, you know? And then Blackthorn was just like, I spent the whole series trying to figure out if I thought he was hot or not, so I couldn't really connect to him. But, like, but like Mariko, to me, was, like, exquisite.
Well, I think part of it is the fact that she was translating the Portuguese into Japanese. So obviously she did a great job there.
Bitch had lines.
She, and the fact that when she was doing the Portuguese part and she was kind of having like a secret conversation with this Blackthorn,
mm-hmm,
and kind of like the sass that she wasn't supposed to be having to like some of his responses,
mm-hmm,
but she still had like the little like, wait, what did you say? They're like side eyes or they're like, I can't say that comments.
Yeah.
Like just the way she could transition back and forth so well. And can we talk about, and this is one part of the reasons I love the show, those episodes where Blackthorn is having a conversation and she is translating between like Torunaga and Blackthorn or the girl who's like the best consort of the area and Blackthorn, where it would be like, it would just fade away the person in Japanese and she would just translate everything in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like he was having a conversation with just her. Like those scenes to me were beautifully done where it was like, it would cut out the Japanese and she would have to like, stop talking Japanese, go into Portuguese, translate the same thing.
I mean, just their one-on-one conversations is what you mean.
Well, no, there's that one where Torunaga's talking to him in Osaka, and he's trying to give the explanation of where London is and how he got here. And instead of her hearing Torunaga's words and then speaking them in English, she just spoke them in English. So it took out the Torunaga part of it. So it was like her giving him that line. Or like in the whorehouse where the consort, like the really high paying one, is trying to describe what the Willow World is. She sat behind Mariko and was talking in Japanese. So instead of waiting until her line was done, Mariko would just speak the line in English. Like it was just the two of them having a conversation.
Okay, I think I see where you're going.
Yeah, like those I thought were like really cool. Like it would just like fade out the Japanese and it would just be the two of them. And again, she would just deliver it really, really well.
Yeah.
But no, I disagree. I think Mariko should 100% be Bay of the Week on this one.
Yeah, I mean, everybody did like, I think it was all like really well acted, really well done. If we're sliding into like watch or not, I think the story was really cool. I think it was, I think... they definitely pulled a Game of Thrones. Episode 9 was a revelation.
Yes.
It was like, you could definitely feel the story picking up steam in episode 7, 8,
mm-hmm,
and then 9 being the penultimate, like, which I think, like, when we say Beyonce is the reason we have New Music Fridays, I think Game of Thrones is the reason where any show chooses the second to last episode to really blow shit up.
Yeah.
I think Game of Thrones started that shit.
I agree, and I think, like you said, it was 100% probably my favorite episode.
I think it was number 9. That actually not until
so good,
so good, yeah. So me with me, I'm saying this show's a watch. Like I would love to read this book, honestly, and we know I'm not going to
read,
but I would love to read in general. I would read because I think I would love to understand, you know, the inner workings of it and really kind of get like the things that I missed in it. But it was like, it really was like a really, really good, really well done series. And I just, I think that anything Japanese is just so beautiful regardless. Like mm-hmm, just like the language, the clothing, the scenery, like it was just a beautiful series to watch in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm going to 100% agree. Watch this show. It is worth the time and investment. If the book can paint this good of a world through it, I definitely want to read the book. I hope there's a new.
Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? All
right, Pocahontas over here.
Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Dude, that was top five Disney songs. Come on. Paint with all the colors of the wind. Come Pocahontas with that hair. And John Smith being like, ooh, this brown bitch. I'm going to get this bitch. You know, it is his white colonizing ass.
Thanks for interrupting my conversation fucking, about why I watch this.
Kokomo. What was his name? Kokoro? What was the man that was that was like crazy for Pocahontas? The other one.
I haven't watched it.
Coca-Ho.
Well, I guess that's the end of my conversation. So yes, just watch it.
No, keep going. Sorry, I'm looking up. It's Kokomo.
No, it was like I said, it was beautifully done. The scenes were shot beautifully. The landscapes they used were top notch. I loved the story that was built. And the fact that they use Japanese and use it so efficiently, and it was beautiful to listen to. This has been probably one of my top five, if not top three shows I've watched this year that we reviewed.
Really?
This possibly, I'm for sure top five. I might put it top three of what we've reviewed.
It was Kokomo. Kokomo was bad, dude. Kokomo was like, fuck this Johnny character. Who the fuck is he? Where the fuck did he come from? This blonde hair, blue eyed piece of shit. He was so bad. Oh, he was mad that time when he came running out of that the beanstalks or whatever the hell they
were. When corn?
The cornfield? I don't know.
He was corn.
And he was like, eh. Like he was pissed. He was like, fuck this hoe. Sorry.
I'm done.
You know what? Coco might have, you know what? If we watched that today, Coco might have been in the right. Like, I'd be like, you know what? Coco, I might get it. This white man just came in and stole your woman. And you, why wouldn't he be pissed? Why wouldn't he be pissed? I'm making me talk about it. Why wouldn't you? I mean, Coco, to be fair, is probably a little bit like a little bit of a womanizer. And he's probably like, you do what you need to do. And Pocahontas is like, nah, I ain't doing that bullshit. So he's probably a little forceful and shit. But. To be mad because some white dude from nowhere came in and stole your woman? Oh, yeah, I'd be mad.
Just close this off. I can't. I'm done. I got nothing else in me.
Dude, I need to rewatch Pocahontas. That song was good. You know what we need to do?
What?
We need to have a party of three where we really do rank, like, top Disney songs. And obviously, this is limited to our own exposure to what the Disney songs were.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And all of mine are pre-1995. I'm going to tell you that right now. But
I'd have to look up when some of these were released, but yeah, mine probably too.
Like songs? God, so many songs. Actually, no, because I would tell you what wouldn't be my top three or top five.
What?
Let It Go, because fuck that shit. I hate that song.
Never even considered it.
Hate it. But Do You Want to Build a Snowman would be top five.
Really?
Because it got stuck in my, it was like an earworm.
Do you want to build a snowman?
And also I love Kristen Bell. So that's part of it.
But what, you don't love, oh my God, who did voice Elsa?
Idina Menzel?
Yeah.
Not really. I don't love her voice.
Really?
I've never liked
her voice. Original Wicked cast?
I've never liked her voice. I just don't like her voice. I think she's great. She's a great singer, and I can't do what she fucking, I don't love her voice. And that's fine. I think it's fine to say that she is great. Like, she's a magnificent singer. I just don't like her voice.
All right. We need to say this. This conversation that we don't want to waste right now, we'll save it when we have that party of three.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
Maybe. What is our show for next week? Are we telling people?
If you want to, because it's on Disney Plus.
It's a Disney Plus original. You guys, we're going to do X-Men 97. I'm so excited about this. That's not even close, boy. Bro.
Okay.
I mean, try again next week. Okay. Just work on it. No, buddy. Try next week. Practice that.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Well, there'll be another release later this week of Buffy episodes.
Okay.
So be excited for that shit.
Buffy.
And then.
For the penultimate Buffy episodes.
Right. And then next week, we're going to talk about X-Men 97 and Magneto's hair care routine. So we will talk to you all.
97 hairs.
I mean, that blowout is giving it to me. We're going to talk about that too. That blowout, it's like, it's. I've never. There are women in the real world who look at that going, fuck, why can't my hair look like that? Because his hair is drawn on. But that's number one. He ain't a real fucking character. But number two, I don't know why.
Because his hair is drawn on.
It's not real. So, you know, that's why.
Accepted.
All right, you guys. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Watch or Not with Jay and MJ.
Interact and give us suggestions on what to watch at watchornotpodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at watchornot_pod.
And don't forget about Instagram, you guys, at watchornotpod.
Don't forget you can support the pod by joining our Patreon at Watch or Not with Jay and MJ.
And subscribe and leave a review wherever you guys listen to podcasts. Talk to you soon.